Now, for about 100 years, the U.S. Census has been categorizing American populations into rural and urban. And the divide between the two groups came under the spotlight in the most recent election.
New census data is showing that the experiences and political loyalties of rural Americans is a lot more complex than we might think. For example, only about 9% of rural Americans work in agriculture. David Brown joins us now. He's an international professor of development sociology at Cornell University. David, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, David, it seems as though when we think about what a rural American is, who that person is, we think about these lonely Western states. We think about probably white people working in agriculture. How accurate is that image?
Well, that's accurate for some parts of the U.S., but not for others of the rural U.S. So outside of the South, the rural population is largely white, but that's changing, especially as the Hispanic population moves from the Southwest into the Midwest and the Southeast, primarily attracted by various aspects of food processing and construction and other industries. And I think the main thing to understand is that the rural population is extremely diverse, and so you can find all kinds of people doing all kinds of jobs throughout rural America, but some of them are more concentrated in certain regions other than others.
So when we hear the phrase on election night, for instance, the word white lash to talk about the vote in rural America that may have gone in large part to Donald Trump, you're talking about a diversity that might not be reflected in that word. Can you tell us more about what that diversity looks like in America?
Well, the diversity, I think this whole the political aspect that you're getting at here, I think really does focus more on the rural population in the Midwest, Midwestern part of the United States. This wouldn't be the case in the South. The South is already going to vote Republican primarily, but that's not the case in places that have heavy African American population. So if you look at the rural population in the Southern United States, there are many counties with 70 or more percent population rural. So those are not going to be rural places that heavily favor Republicans, or that, more important for this election, switched from having voted Democrat to voting Republican. So I think what's going on, especially in the rural Midwest, is that you have people who are in communities that have lost major employers, especially manufacturing employers, and or in places where agriculture has really changed. The amount of agricultural production may not have declined, but the number of people working in it and the number of farms would have declined through concentration. So for many of these people, the loss of manufacturing jobs started probably in the 1960s and has been accelerated by globalization. And many people believe that these jobs will never come back, and that they tend to have a sense of hopelessness, people who work in these industries. And many people believe that many of these people feel disrespected and ignored by the political establishment. And so by the time you get to 2016, we're through their recession. Urban areas recovered better than rural areas in the recession, and so it's kind of a perfect storm with respect to the white rural vote, especially those people who had been employed in manufacturing and agriculture, but who no longer are. It's not that they aren't employed, but many of these people are employed in jobs that pay less than they were used to having, and in jobs that really, to be quite honest, don't have a job ladder or career ladder that would lead them from their current situation into a better economic situation.
Now, when we talk about population specifically, I mean, it hasn't always been true that more Americans live in these urban centers than live in rural areas of the state. When did that start to change?
Well, the last census nationwide, U.S.-wide, when the rural population was a half or more of the total population, was 1910. So the 1920 census really was the first census in which more than 50% of the U.S. population lived in urban areas. But again, even though the rural population in the U.S. overall is about 19% of the population, like you said at the top of the show, it's the percentage of the population in different regions that's rural is quite different. So in the Midwest, for example, about 28% of all people are rural. And so, and if you look at the Northeast, it's less than 10%. So that 19% measure across the entire country really varies quite a bit. But certainly by the time you get into the 50s and 60s, you know, in the 50s after the Second World War, you're really getting into situations with 70 or more percent of the population in urban areas.
Now, the divide that we've been starting to get at between urban and rural communities seemed especially polarized and stark during this last election. When did that development start to take place, or has it always been that way a little bit?
Well, I'm not a political sociologist, and so I'm going to I'll take a stab at your question, but I'm not completely sure I'm going to have the right answer. Perhaps some of the call-in, the people that call in would give us some more focus on this. As I said before, starting somewhere in around the 1960s, the organization of economic life in rural areas really started to be transformed. And the percentage working in agriculture declined dramatically, primarily because of mechanization. And the percentage employed in manufacturing also started to decline. And so I don't think most people realize that the dependence on manufacturing really started to go down, you know, over 50 years ago. Now, that has been accelerated by globalization, and globalization leads to what a lot of people call offshoring of jobs, and that's the loss of jobs to other countries that pay lower wages, have less worker protection, etc. So this long-term trend of the loss of manufacturing in the U.S. in general and in the rural U.S. was really accelerated by globalization. So I think that you know, that this really has led to a significant discontent among people who had been in manufacturing and who expected their children to be able to follow them into manufacturing and to earn, you know, well-paying jobs that had really good prospects for economic security. So if I had to guess, I would say, and again, some of this transformation hits rural areas more squarely than in urban areas. So if I had to guess, I would say this discontent between rural and urban areas probably started somewhere in the 80s, you know, mid to late 80s, and has been accelerating as globalization became deeper and deeper and deeper and hollowed out the middle of rural American jobs more and more and more.
We're talking right now about different kinds of rural communities, of rural experience across America right now with David Brown. He's International Professor of Development Sociology at Cornell University.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Is this your community our guest is describing? Have you seen this change, decline in jobs in agriculture, in local manufacturing in your rural part of the state or neighboring states of Wisconsin? And did you feel like the candidates, the parties, talked to you and your concerns in this last election? Call 800-642-1234. Let us know what misconceptions people have about rural Wisconsin, about rural America. 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation in just a little bit. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're picking up the conversation with David Brown. He's an international professor of development sociology at Cornell University, and we're looking at new census data that paints a more nuanced picture of rural America than we might expect.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you live or have lived in a rural part of the state, of the country. What do you think about this? Do you think people have misconceptions about what's going on in your community? What are the challenges, economic and otherwise, facing your community? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Let's take our first caller now. We've got Brett joining us in Madison. Brett, hi.
Hi. You know, I'm an emergency medicine physician. I've worked in urban ERs in Chicago, New York City. I now work at a ER in a rural area in Wisconsin. And I definitely see, you know, over the last several years, I've been working what your guest has talked about, where people are just not able to achieve the same standard of living as their parents were. And, you know, it has a lot of ramifications that we see in the ER. People are showing up with all kinds of issues of addiction, anxiety, depression, chronic health issues that they can't get a hold of because they can't, you know, afford to make nutrition and exercise a part of their normal life because they're working three different jobs. Some of them are at night shift. They're taking care of their elderly parents. It's really a mess out there in both the urban and the rural areas. And so I see what he's saying. I think he's right on point and that we've got to find a way to help these people get decent paying jobs in order to kind of help shore up the fabric of our society.
Brett, thanks a lot for that perspective. Interesting. And David, we haven't talked yet about poverty, but we can talk a little bit first about services, healthcare, and how that ties into the wages. How do you see this all weaving together?
Okay, well, I'm glad Brent brought that up, because this whole issue of access to services is really a major dynamic in rural America. And again, this is not a new trend. This has been happening increasingly over time. Well, the first thing I would say is that if you look at the jobs that people have in rural America at the present time, they tend to be concentrated in services, just like the rest of the country. And the kinds of services that people are most likely to have jobs in rural areas are in education, health care, and social services. Again, that is not that much different than than urban areas. They may make somewhat less in terms of wages, but nonetheless, the kinds of employment look pretty similar. But I want to pick up on something that Brent alluded to but hasn't come up yet. And again, this doesn't have anything to do with the election and the demographics of the election and the rural aspect of that, but it's really one of the biggest issues for the biggest challenges for rural America, and that's the whole idea of population aging. And so if you look at the age of the population in the United States, rural areas on average are about 15 years older than their urban counterparts. So in other words, the median age of rural America is somewhere I have it written down, actually, I can tell you exactly, 43 years, and the average age of urban areas is 36 years. Now, that's really substantial, that difference. And that difference really comes into play in rural areas, especially with respect to access to services and particularly health services. So Brent said that he works in EMS and in emergency rooms. It turns out that there are a lot of rural areas that have very old populations that have extremely low access to services. They have very little public transportation to get people to services outside of their immediate community. And, you know, it's really one of the most troubling issues that rural America is facing at the present time. One thing that's kind of strange, and I'm actually doing research on this at the present time, is that there are some technologies that can diminish the effects of being in a rural area and not having, you know, say, specialty medicine in your locale. And that's telemedicine, for example, or the use of other kinds of technologies. But many communities do not adopt this technology, and we're not really sure why. Is it because they can't afford it? Is it because people wouldn't accept it? And so that's one of the questions that I'm actually looking at in my current research, why communities don't adopt technology that could diminish the disadvantage of being in a rural area with poor public transportation and no specialty medical services available. So population aging is a big deal.
Brett, thank you so much for that phone call. And we're talking right now with David Brown from Cornell University, talking about different realities of rural experience in America. And we'll take another call here. We've got Jade joining us from Westfield. Jade, hi.
Hi, friends. How are you guys?
Good. How about you?
Good. I'm doing well. Thank you, Mr. Brown, for your input. It's very insightful. And I just wanted to throw a few things in there. I'm 39 years old. I grew up in Wisconsin, grew up in Milwaukee, and kind of left when I was about 18, went around the world. I'm a chef by trade, and I worked in some really amazing markets. I spent many years in Manhattan. I spent a good amount of time in Boulder, Colorado, which are two pretty interesting and very different markets than the Midwest and Wisconsin in general. About 10 years ago, I took my skill set and my strong suits and started to focus in agriculture and got my first farm, small farm, about 3 acres. From there, I moved up a few times, and I've had a few farms. One of the biggest, I think, concepts is that increasingly our food is coming from further and further away. Whether we talk about manufacturing or agriculture, globalism is taking over in a lot of different ways and having major impacts. One of them is that, as we know, our food travels thousands and thousands of miles, and there's very little traceability. I focus.
I think we lost you, Jade, but I get where you're going there with that call, pointing to, I think, a resurgence in small-scale agriculture, maybe an agriculture farming renaissance in some of these rural communities, and maybe that being a route to bringing some of the upward-pointing incomes back in those rural areas of the state. David, do you see that happening? A short answer, please,
absolutely.
As we get closer.
Absolutely. I'm really glad that Jay brought that up. I'm concerned about painting a tale of woe here, that everything is terrible in rural America and it's going to hell in a handbasket, because there really are some aspects of what current situations in rural areas that are quite bright. And I think this whole issue of reducing food miles, that's kind of the jargon for this, how far your food travels, by depending more on locally grown commodities is really important, and it provides a good living for small farmers who can market directly to consumers, to restaurants, to schools. There's a whole movement of farm to school, and so again, this is good for the environment. This is good for a small businessman, a small farmer, and I know I've been to the Madison farmers market, and we have an equivalently great one here in Ithaca. They can become huge tourist attractions and create jobs that way. So I think that this whole issue of local agriculture is a real positive aspect of what's going on in rural America.
And we leave it there. David, thank you so much for joining us. That was David Brown, International Professor of Development Sociology at Cornell University, joining us to talk about the different communities that live outside of American cities and the release of new census data on the realities of rural America. This is Central Time.